Live from Run Your Mouth World Headquarters.
First up, the Supreme Court rules for Trump remaining on the ballot. Trump responded,
I'm a beautiful butterfly. Look at me between these flags. So pretty. Everyone thinks so.
Democratic Congressman Jamie Raskin said this.
We will do everything we can to restore our democracy and make sure voters can't choose what they prefer. Our democracy relies on voters not getting what they wanted. And in response to this decision, I have assembled the whiny Jew squad of myself, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and Eric Swalwell to make a lot of noise and do our part by complaining.
CNN's Jake Tapper said this.
Sometimes it's fun to participate in erections. I don't get them that often, but sometimes I'll hold others by the base of their pubic hairs and be involved in their erections. Now let's speak with Nikki Haley, the country's best hope at killing all these erections.
Next up, in international news, we review the leaked audio of German missiles being targeted at Russia. And how much further can NATO take their I'm not touching you strategy? We're not at war with you. You're at war with those people, and we're staying out of this so it doesn't escalate. With grocery prices rising, Cookie Monster speaks out against shrinkflation.
Cookie Monster used to love cookie, but now cookie tastes like chalk because of shrinkflation. They replace ingredient with chemical, so cookie no longer tastes good. I try and eat more. I try and crush up cookie. Sometimes I even snort cookie. But cookie don't do it for me anymore. I still want cookie. My life now is devoid of joy. It's the thing I loved. The entire purpose for my existence was cookie. But they cost more. And they taste less. I have no reason to live. Cookie no good.
And lastly, economists weigh in on the economy experiencing a possible soft landing followed by a runway explosion. And if 2024 might see Bitcoin going to the moon while the rest of the economy implodes, allowing Bitcoin holders to hire their relatives scrambling for work to write essays about why they were wrong about COVID.
It's your daily dose of misinformation pulled from a lightly hemorrhoided asshole. It's today's Run Your Mouth.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Run Your Mouth podcast. We got a dense episode. We got the intro playing again for absolutely no reason. Welcome to Super Duper Day, the day after Super Tuesday, where we celebrate the super duperness of our wonderful country. Everybody, this Friday night, I will be opening for Sam Tripoli. Not really opening. I guess it's a showcase show loaded with some comedic talent out in New Jersey. So if you live out in New Jersey, Dojo of Comedy with Sam Tripoli. I had an absolute blast in Kansas City and Omaha. So start emailing me, robsnewsroom@gmail.com. I want to take Summer Porch Tour, April all the way through October. Every single weekend on the road, I don't care. You got a random firefighter hall in Omaha. You've got the back of a bar in Kansas City. You've got a backyard. You've got a basement. I'm a man of the people. We will get out there. We will play any venue, anywhere, anytime, like WrestleMania, but with jokes. So hit me up. I see in the chat, Asia, what is up, asking me if I will be out in Seattle or Tacoma. I don't think a new date has been scheduled yet, but if not, I'll be back there for a Summer Porch Tour. All right, let's get into some news topics. Let's not delay. Let's not meander. Let's not talk nonsense. I got nothing bad to say about Kansas City or Omaha. There's nothing. I ate the most delicious honey bun of my entire life. I ate some burgers. I drove in a car. You know, let's just get into it. What do we got to waste time for? Let's start with Donald Trump remaining on the ballot. If you guys did not catch that Supreme Court case, all nine judges were like, what the fuck? Why do we even have to deal with this shit? and then they sent it back down. Basically, usually, I get annoyed with the Supreme Court because they never want to do anything. They're a bunch of lazy people, and they go, Congress should deal with this. But in this case, that it actually seemed like it would make sense. But have you heard the Democrats and the way that they're yelling about this situation? It's like the Democrats want us to be part of their LARP at all times, that the world is coming to an end. We've got an incredible amount of domestic terrorists. Donald Trump tried to violently overthrow our country, and the FBI door opening unit has no responsibility for the actions of what actually transpired on January 6th. And so now their new thing is, firstly, there was no insurrection trial. Do you guys remember an insurrection trial? Do you remember at any point in time when Donald Trump was actually found guilty in a court of law of partaking in insurrection? I know a bunch of rulings that just kind of skipped over that part and said that this guy can't be on the ballot on the basis that he was a part of an insurrection. But do you ever remember some sort of a criminal trial where they actually took the time to prove that that was an insurrection? When's the FBI door opening unit going to be up at the witness stand in their nice coats, their nice bellboy outfits? Anyways, so that's first point. The second one is that if it had actually have been a violent insurrection, because the new thing I'm hearing from all these talking heads, from the CNNs, from the legal experts, is how can it be that the Supreme Court will just allow violent insurrectionists to continue to run for office, and now our states have no part, have no power to interrupt that process? Well, because maybe if we actually lived in a world where there was a violent insurrection, then everyone in Congress would go, yeah, that guy can't run for president anymore. Maybe if there actually was a guy up there with a stupid little Hitler stash yelling, let's kill the Jews, and the guy actually was Hitler, Congress would actually go, hey, I don't think that guy can run. If there actually was a violent insurrection of Donald Trump running into, like, what was the plan of the violent insurrection when the people took over the Capitol building? Does it really seem like he planned out an insurrection? Like he sat down with the people that stormed that room that day, the people dressed like beavers and other cartoon characters, and that he had, and that they had a plan for actually overthrowing the country? And if we had actually witnessed that, let's say that was the reality that we lived in, why do you think that Congress wouldn't act? Are you saying that everyone in Congress is in on the insurrection too? We've got an entire government that's in on violently overthrowing what should be the lawful powers through democracy. Do you see what I'm saying here? Like, this is the new reality that we're supposed to live in, is that the Supreme Court has made it. And by the way, has there been a violent insurrectionist since they enacted that law? Or in terms, I mean, there's a lot of dysfunction in government, but do we really have a violent insurrectionist being able to run for office problem? Is that really an issue that faces our fine country here, that now, because of this Supreme Court ruling saying that states can't get in the way of violent insurrections being in the ballot, we're going to have a future of nothing but violent insurrections? I also wonder this. Very rarely do you have all nine, all, is it nine? Or did I just make up that number? Very rarely do you see the Supreme Court all come down. It's usually 5-4, maybe get one of the Republican sides with the Democrats. But you very rarely have all of them going, why did we even have to waste our time with this? And when that happens, does the earlier judge get in trouble? If the earlier judge got the law that wrong, do they review his record and see what other cases he massively messed up? Do they look into that? Does the guy get in trouble? Do they bring him in and put that guy on trial and go, hey, were you working an agenda here because you couldn't have gotten the law more wrong? Or do they do a review about whether or not he's allowed to remain in that job? How many other rulings did that guy rule on that should be either overlooked or overruled, or at least do some sort of a look back on, because either he's got some sort of a bias or an agenda, or he's just a massive idiot? I mean, how many times in our country's history has something gotten to the Supreme Court and the earlier courts were overruled 9-0 on the basis that the decision that they had made had absolutely no basis in law? Next thing I wanted to discuss is I placed a bet on Boring a couple weeks ago. You guys can go back and you can watch that episode. And I've been forecasting that it seems to me like Donald Trump cut himself some sort of a deal, or that the deep state is giving up. They just realized that the man is so popular. And who knows, maybe I'm reading the tea leaves completely wrong on this one. I didn't say I said that one with like a 60% level of confidence, but it does seem like all of these cases are falling apart. The January 6th one that could have put him in jail, they've postponed that so that it's not going to come into play till after the election. They've ruled that he has to remain on all the ballots. Mitch McConnell himself is stepping down and giving his endorsement to Donald Trump and saying, hey, I think that's where the party is. Thus far, they don't seem to be replacing Biden. And it seems like Trump is actually just smoothly, I mean, they're going to take his buildings from him and he's going to have to deal with that New York State thing that he owes them $350 million. But doesn't it seem like the machine is just kind of marching on without that excitement, without conclusions, these storylines? What did Donald Trump sit down? He was like, listen, I'll make sure that you guys don't prosecute Fauci. I'll give you guys a couple of these wars. But, you know, can I at least keep Mar-a-Lago? Maybe you'll give me back my buildings and I can be back into office. One more thing. And then, dude, we've got so many slides. I got 26 slides coming at you. I've got all sorts of random Twitter videos. Episode is brought to you by YoKratom.com, home of the $6 kilo. And they hooked me up. They sent me a big old bag of the green Meng Da's, the red Meng Da's. I don't know. Maybe you guys like the powder. You like stirring up some teas. And that's when you get the whole big bag of kilos that you can be working in there with the teaspoons and that. Me, I like a nice old simple pill. Throw it up in the air, pop it into your mouth, sink into your couch, and call it a night. That's if you're doing the reds. If you do the greens, it's more of a go mode type operation. But anyways, thanks to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, longtime sponsor of this show. A lot of you guys probably don't even know this, but all those topics that go into the intro, they're based off of things that actually took place in the news. They might seem like complete and total nonsense, but they're not. And so Cookie Monster actually tweeted, and that's when things start hitting the mainstream. Usually, you know, you want financial experts who are going to talk to you about inflation, stagnation, stagflation, superflations. On Super Duper Day, you know, you want to get Jerome Powell out there letting you know, are we going to increase the interest rates? Are we lowering the interest rates? Has the central bank been secretly buying Bitcoin? Is that what the $2 billion whale is last week? Are all the institutional investors going to be bidding against the Federal Reserve as we move over to a base layer of Bitcoin? Or is Bitcoin trading with the stock market going to crash out and go sell all your coins right now and buy yourself a boat and get into the ocean before the boogaloo happens? Who knows? You would hope that the financial experts, your Jerome Powells, your Janet Yellens would be the people that could actually address these issues and educate the nation. But sometimes you got to go back to the roots, the basics, and you get characters as simple as Cookie Monster tweeting about, hey, my cookies, they're too expensive. And then all of a sudden, that's when it starts hitting all the daily morning shows. We're like, oh my God, if Cookie Monster is already going to be addressing the fact that we've got shrinkflation, then we're going to have to address this shrinkflation. And then all the pundits start talking about shrinkflation. And then it gets all the way to the press secretary who has to address the shrinkflation. Now, I would just like to say off the bat, it would seem to me like shrinkflation would probably help the Joe Bidens, because if you're looking to pretend like there isn't a lot of inflation, to then whatever extent you can get companies not charging more money for their products, but just selling shittier products, that seems to me like that would be harder to track. Do they track how quickly your appliances end up in a landfill, what the life cycle of the things that you're purchasing are, or do we mostly just track prices? Are they tracking the Oreo price index that not only are your Oreos more expensive, but they put more chemicals into it? Do they track the quality of these items? Or does shrinkflation actually help the Bidens of the world as they try and pretend like everything cost what it always cost and you should be happy because the economy is the best that it's ever been and actually you haven't thanked us enough for everything that we're doing? And if you're seeing increases in prices, it's because of those dirty, rotten companies. They're just taking advantage of the fact that you all have more money. I mean, the fact that everyone has more money and they're all bidding up the prices of goods, if the corporations weren't greedy, they wouldn't charge you more just because everyone wants their thing more. That's not the way the economy should work. And even if these corporations have to pay more in order to get you the goods and services because everything's costing more and so their employees want more money, all their suppliers want more money, but if the profits are going up because just all numbers are going up, that's a greedy corporation if they're going to spend more money with you. You guys have to follow Bidenomics, which is essentially the way they do it. Or they want to project onto us the reality of how economics works. With all that being said, I would think that shrinkflation would help the current regime as they try and pretend like prices aren't going up. But here's the way that they responded.
She goes, listen, that shrinkflation, that's exactly what we've been talking about. Which brings me to a long-running theory on politics, is that it's all just a game of who farted. That's the way it works. You know, like it's the he who denied it, supplied it, he who dealt it, spread it. That's exactly how it is. If you fart, you got to be the first one to go, hey, does that kind of smell? And then someone's like, well, did you fart? I was like, why? I didn't fart. You think if I farted, I would have said that it smells in here? I'd be trying to walk the other way and pretend like there's no farts in this room. Or I'd be going, how dare you have farted, and pretended like I smelt it when you smelt it. What are you thinking? Because I farted, I could have smelt it first. And that's exactly the way to do it, is they stand up there and they go, we're just as concerned with this shrinkflation as you are. That's why we've been talking about it. It's like they sit in a little office. They go, hey, the people are getting noisy about shrinkflation. Like, you better hit the news and go blame the other people for the shrinkflation that you caused so that we can get ahead of it and pretend like it was somebody else's fault. All right, let's take a couple comments and then we'll get into more of our slides. Everyone can look at my banner over here. Shogun saying, clipping that. Clip away. Spread the post. I response it. Why is Cookie Monster Asian? That's a great point. I was trying to work on the voice and it was just coming out Asian and I decided to move on with my life because I thought it was still funny. Lunacy underscore bass. Asian Cookie Monster is the best Cookie Monster. I agree. He can read fortune cookies, let you know what's going on. Show Sogino letting us know that there's an erection of inflation. All right, what do we got up next? I just did a joke while I was in Omaha in Kansas City. I was getting excited for the fact that Nikki Haley wasn't going to drop out of the race. And I started to sit down and write my Nikki Haley jokes. And I might drop that clip. And because now it's over. That's what happens when you try and work on topical jokes. You do it twice. You're like, oh, I think I have something here. I can play around with that. And then the news changes. And you're like, fuck, why do you have to change the news? Can't you keep doing what you were doing until I can get this joke finished? Kid, just stay in the race like one more month. I'll have this joke done and then you can disappear. Or you know what? Even just make it all the way into office, because I don't care if you fight more wars as long as I can get my joke out into the world once it works. Anyways, I was wondering, who are these 10% of Republicans that are actually voting for Nikki Haley? And be on the lookout for the shorts. I'll drop that joke later. But it turns out that the people who were supporting Nikki Haley, seems like they were probably Democrats. That's what it's seeming like. This was a poll reported by Zero Hedge. The article was called, as Haley ends Republican race, survey finds 92% of her voters approve of Biden's performance. So you'd be like, oh, this must be the dumbest of all Republicans. But under further investigation of the article, this was from the, who did this poll? I forget. It's from the Federalist's Sean Davis. It appears that you had some hardcore Democrats decided to register as Republicans. That way they could do their part to try and make sure that Donald Trump didn't get the nomination. By the way, it's a clever play. It's something that I've heard people talk about for a long time, that if you really want to increase really your zero impact in our politics in any capacity. I mean, if you do what I do, which is you yell about topics that no one else was aware about to a large amount of people who can also sit at home and be angry and enact zero change, but at least save themselves from getting vaccinated and maybe be aware of the things that are going on in the economy so that they can make their preparations and cash their Bitcoin in for boats so that they can get into the ocean before things go to shit, you can have an impact. But honestly, most of us out here, do we think you're going in and you're pulling on a lever and that thing's making a difference in any single sort of way? I mean, maybe it does. I'm the one out here yelling that politics matters. Now I'm trying to sell you on the idea that your vote is worthless anyways. But people have tried to say that if you are going to take part in this whole shenanigans of voting, if you register for the other party and then you try and dictate an opponent that you think will definitely lose to your person, which they messed up on Donald Trump with. Remember that when Hillary Clinton said, hey, let's push Donald Trump because I can definitely beat Donald Trump. And then that backfired. All the news stations reporting on Donald Trump all the time. And people are like, hey, this lunatic's kind of fun. But anyways, it seems like the little bit of support that Nikki Haley had wasn't even Republicans. It was Democrats who were trying to rig the process, step in, ruin the Republicans and try and nominate her. Next article, this was from The Week magazine. Apparently, the Fed caps credit card late fees at $8. And I want to know, is that going to ruin my lounge access? Because if we got to file, I don't care about fees on poor people anymore. If you can't pay your credit card bill on time, but I can have myself one more free whiskey in the Chase Sapphire Lounge, well, then I am all for you having to pay a late fee. Guys, I just got my lounge access. I can't have the Biden administration ruining the one free thing. And you don't even get the free drinks that often. You find out, oh, this airport doesn't have a lounge. It's not connected to that thing. You got to fight JetBlue if you're going to fly in the lounge. Oh, you had to buy the premium ticket, which is the same price. And then it's really just a game of trying to make you an alcoholic, where you have to do the math of how much did I actually pay in order to get this lounge access? And then can I drink more than what that was in order to stay ahead? And then you can explain that to a stewardess. If you get onto a flight a little bit too drunk and they're like, you're a sloppy mess, and you're like, listen, I had to make back the fact that this banking system's been, I just got lounge access for the first time and I've been getting fees with for my entire life, but I actually took on enough credit card debt last year that I had access to that lounge, and so now this is my opportunity to take back what's mine. And so I think I need you to back off right now and respect the fact that I'm just taking back 35 years of pain from the system. So please don't ruin this for me, because if you don't let me on this flight, then I'm another $300 in the red and I have to go back to the bar and drink another $300 worth of beverages and then try and get home. So that's not going to work out well for anybody. I pose this question to you, the listeners of Run Your Mouth. Do you think Joe Biden, who I believe worked with the credit card agencies, I think he's the credit card guy. Isn't that the story with Joe Biden? He welcomed them all into the state of Delaware and said, hey, if you guys incorporate in here and you pay your taxes here, I'll let you get away with this shenanigans. I'll let you get away with that shenanigans. Now, all of a sudden, he's up on the news going, you guys, no more $8 late fees. Like, that was the biggest problem with people and their credit cards. Do you think that this is actually going to even change? Like, do you think the people in the credit card home office are like, guys, the party's over. No more champagne. No more perks. We're going to have to take out that fancy espresso machine that we had in the lobby because Joe Biden just got rid of the $8 credit card late fees. The party's over here. Or do you think whatever profit margins that they're looking for by screwing you on fine print here, fine print there, sending a credit card to a guy that shouldn't have a credit card, trying to sack us all with debt so they can get their 25% monthly interest, you think that this is going to change anything? My guess is it's going to be like Obamacare with insurance. Oh, we're going to make sure that the profits come down and then they make more money than ever. Here we got Joe Biden making his preparations for the State of the Union. And look at that print. That's like the way I used to hand in essays as a kid. Oh, I messed up the font so I could write three sentences and fill an entire notebook. I guess that gets telepromptered and just beforehand to make him feel good. He gets to flip through it and pretend like he can read. But I mean, I think how many naps do you think he needs to take just with the workout of flipping those pages? I mean, what is that? A word a page? Extra, extra big old person print. Is that a font in Microsoft Word? Super bold, extreme Biden. That's actually a fun font, just called the Biden, where it automatically spaces things like that. And it simplifies everything. Here's a fun idea for the State of the Union. Can we somehow round up these migrants and send them in while the TV cameras are rolling, so that we can get Joe Biden going, how are these people just getting, can't someone stop them? How are these people just getting in here? This is dangerous. We can't have people just coming in. Hey, any of these people have IDs? Have they been tested for the new COVID? I need to get another booster shot. This is irresponsible. Just having people just crossing into the room without any security. Remember back, you know, like at the Super Bowl, you get those guys streaking on the field. Can we get the people, they come over the border and we'll just give them parachutes and drop them off planes right onto the building. Talk about an insurrection so that we can flip the script and have him complaining about all the immigrants that are coming in. BlackRock retreats from ESG following pushback. A lot of people, they're getting excited about this. They're trying to say, hey, it's a victory. BlackRock, they're done with the whole ESG thing. They pushed it, didn't work. EV things didn't work. You got Republicans that are looking into it. They're banning some of these big funds from doing business in their state, and they're stepping it back. And little bit interesting that at the same time that it appears like the entire woke thing has just kind of disappeared, you've got Shane Gillis on the SNLs. I find my channel gets less strikes on YouTubes. It doesn't feel like we played the go woke, go broke thing through to the end. Bud Light was kind of the pinnacle. When they do the look backs on like the MTV shows where they used to, oh, look back at the 2000s, I remember I once visited Woodstock, and like the pinnacle of everything that happened in the hippie movement with Vietnam is, you know, the Bud Light moment when the wheel finally turned and everyone stepped away from the ESG scores and the wokes and the this and the that. And then you start wondering, it's like, was BlackRock behind that the whole time? They started calling up the TV executives and they're like, listen, you guys can start letting some of the funny content back onto the networks because we're getting out of it. Or are they just switching the way that they're selling us on this stuff? You know, enough loudmouths like me, we got out there, we shared the ESG story. We let you know what the big banks were trying to pull. And so now they're switching it because they've done so much marketing to convince us that transitioning is good that they're now calling it transition investing. Hey, listen, that boy just wants to be a girl. This will be better for all of us. It's just a little bit of transition investing. This was from Mish Talk. I read that blog nearly daily. Got to reach back out to the fine economist to try and get him onto the show. We quote him quite a bit over here. And he had an article, and I always like it when you dig into the weeds of the electric vehicles, the green energy, and you can see why this stuff is doomed for failure and it's never going to work. You guys can also go and watch when we did the episode with When the Meter Turns, when we really got into the weeds about why those windmills were always doomed to fail. But their whole pitch to us is that we are going to reduce carbon by taking some of these maneuvers. And I've stated it. I've said the entire scheme, it won't do anything for reduction of carbon. They just take certain activities and they go, well, that's a carbon reducing activity, so it doesn't count. But what you're doing is actually using carbon. And so you could have a guy who's consuming just as much carbon who gets to sell you your carbon credits because his activity of buying, of building a machine outside the country that actually used more carbon overall is all under the guise of carbon reducing. We're here at the carbon reducing factories, and then they could be in the factory burning tires, burning coal. It doesn't matter because it's all under the guise of, well, this is a carbon reduction plant. And so they get to actually sell you carbon credits while they were using more carbon than what you're doing when you're buying the credits from them. I know that sounds so crazy. You're probably like, did that even make sense? Was that even articulated properly? I don't know. It made sense in my brain. So anyways, sometimes it's fun to look at the particulars of how they're lying to us about their green energy transitions. This was EVs emit more particulates, one of the most dangerous pollutants. Now, is that more overall carbon? Is that more overall pollution? I'm not 100% sure, but let's give this guy a read and let's go full screen so that you fine people can see it as well. California calls electric cars zero emission vehicles because they don't have tailpipes. That is deceptive. Generating the electricity that powers those cars creates a particular pollution. And of course, electric cars still use tires, which are made from petroleum. Electric cars weigh far more than gasoline-powered ones, so their tires degrade faster, as electric car buyers are learning. The same analytics firm cited earlier compared two cars, a plug-in electric and a hybrid. The electric car weighed about one-third more than the hybrid and emitted roughly one-quarter more particulate matter because of tire wear. Total direct emissions went up, not down, when the electric car was driven. But when California's air agency analyzed the effect of its ban, it used a model that assumes both kinds of cars have the same tire wear. When the public pointed out the error, the agency doubled down, claiming it would be speculative to assume that electric cars will continue to be heavier than gasoline cars. The agency mused that in the future, automakers could probably offset the weight of heavy batteries with unspecified weight reduction in other components or the vehicle body. What's speculative is assuming that electric cars will soon weigh the same as gasoline cars they replace. Electric cars are 15 to 30% heavier because batteries store far less energy per pound than liquid fuels, while weight differences between electric and gasoline cars have remained roughly constant over the past decade. The only reasonable prediction of trends is for electric cars to get heavier as manufacturers increase battery size to boost range. All right, what do we got next? What do we got next here, producer man? On the same topic of green energy reduction, there was a poll. This was reported by the Daily Mail. Article is nearly half of all young voters won't pay more than $10 per month to fight climate change, creating potential issues for President Biden campaigning on the existential threat. Basically, what the article is saying is that people don't really buy the global warming thing, or if they do buy the global warming thing and they have to actually contribute just $10 of their own money out of pocket, they're not interested. And wouldn't that be the better way? Is just to, instead of creating legislations that secretly make your car more expensive, they secretly make your oven more expensive, they make your heating bill more expensive. They already secretly rob us through inflation all the time. But you never even see the price of, oh, when they create that one new legislation and now you got to buy the gas only from this company, or even look at the Russia war. Would our gasoline prices be less if we could still be buying the, if all that gas was floating? Well, according to Gene Epstein, no, because it just gets bought up by India anyways. So you know what? We can reject that one last point. Everything else I was saying would still make sense. Think about how you probably lose more than $10 a month. I think we can all agree on that because of random government legislation. How much has oil increased in cost because Biden took unfavorable positions to the industry? And so there was less investment in, for example, even just the Keystone pipeline. And seems to me, I guess with all of your, hey, global warming, it's coming to get all of us. We're all going to be dead in 3 months. Well, apparently not enough people are buying the story, because if you ask them to contribute just $10 a month in order to make sure that the world doesn't die from overheating, they don't care. That's the price at which they check out. This is kind of interesting to me. It's fairly horrifying if you've watched any of the news footage from Gaza. Now, it's interesting to me what the news decides to highlight and not to highlight. The couple images that I saw of kids in Yemen was also quite horrifying, but I wasn't bombarded with it. Or, for example, I think we all thought that there was an outside risk of COVID. Do you remember at the beginning of COVID, the constant footage of hospitals being overrun, the boat pulling into New York City? Those first 2 weeks of COVID were a good panicky time, where we all felt like it was acceptable to go back to our parents' house, stay indoors, and become an alcoholic. That was a fun time for a couple weeks of panicking. I'm always a little bit interested on why the government is actually highlighting any particular news item and why they're showing me the images that they are. Now, you know, we've been given fairly, I wouldn't call it a neutral coverage of Israel. I think we've said from basically the beginning that it seems like they are targeting civilians. And obviously what happened to Israel, unacceptable. Everything Israel has done in response, unacceptable as well. Jews on both sides, wrong on both sides. The wheel, however, does seem to be turning in terms of the actual coverage in this country, in terms of not really even trying to hide the fact that Israel is causing a disaster in Gaza, and particularly the imagery and the storyline of people short on food is pretty horrifying. The other thing that's just interesting to me long term in terms of, I guess, Israel continuing to get American support is just the fact that not only is more of the polling switching, where more people are saying that Israel is in the wrong in the actions that they're currently taking in Gaza. But I wonder if you looked at the polling for younger and younger generations and what kind of an impact this might have for the next 40 or 50 years. Another thought on this, and, you know, a lot of people, they'll go, well, what is Israel supposed to do? Or these people, they hate Israel, or I mean, the people in Gaza, or after they've done all this to Gaza, how can they possibly have peace with Gaza? And I'd like to point out that I have yet to go over to Germany and try and kill Germans. I've never once thought about going over to Germany to be vengeful towards Germans. I've never sat down. I've sat down with people who survived horrible things in the Holocaust. I've never listened to their story and went, I got to get over in there and I got to do something. And you want to know why? Because Nazis have no impact on my life. And so the fact is, I'm able to live a pretty good life right now. And so I don't look at the current Germans living in Germany and going, my God, what those people did to me. I have a blood debt. I have to get over there and I got to make sure to kill some Germans. I've never once had that thought in my entire life. You know why? Because I have no incentive to think that way. And so I'm thoroughly convinced that even in Gaza, you know, people have moved on from hating each other's for thousands of years because you just realize you've got a financial incentive to get along. And so I don't think that there needs to be endless war over there. And I think the starting point is not starving the people of Gaza, because then you can at least start moving forward towards peace. If currently the only thing that those people can do is live in an area and die because that is what you're imposing on them, then yeah, you're not leaving them with too many choices other than to hate you and try and have vengeance. But, you know, you start rebuilding, you start actually giving people some opportunity to live a normal life. And I think at the end of the day, that's all people really want. The coverage, though, like I said, it's always interesting to me why things are actually getting covered. This is from Reuters. Is there famine in Gaza? Here's what we know. It's not quite at famine levels. The reporting was basically how close are we getting to that? And then, interestingly enough, Kamala Harris managed to get through a speech without laughing and said sensible things, basically condemning Israel and that the situation in Gaza is overly harsh. All right, that is it for that. Let's plug sheathunderwear.com. There's no tie-in. There's zero tie-in from what I was just talking about to, you know what, maybe I should do this one. Let's do another article on that. I don't even want Sheath to have the affiliation with that. Victoria Nuland, third highest ranking U.S. diplomat and critic of Russia's war in Ukraine, retiring. I got to hit up Gary Richeid, our historian for the Run Your Mouth podcast, do maybe a segment called Shadow Creatures, because I think it would be great to actually take these people who have been behind the scenes the entire career and see what policy decisions these people are actually responsible for, and then tarnish their name so that when they go and they work at Columbia and they pretend like they're not absolutely moronic individuals who are just responsible for a legacy of bad decisions that led to chaos and death, maybe some kids will actually sit in the class and go, well, when you negotiated that deal and then, you know, we fought for 3 years and then the war failed, do you feel any responsibility for the deaths and the fact that it did nothing that was in the U.S. best interest? What intelligence were you actually working on at the time when you decided that we could defeat Russia in that war? Wouldn't it be nice to actually just get all these deep state people behind the scenes, your Blinkens, your Kirbys, your this, your that, or if they never made a important policy decision or worked on an important project for their entire career, then you could just state what their career earnings were and the fact that they did nothing to actually earn all that money. All right, and now we can plug sheathunderwear.com, the greatest underwear that's ever graced the balls of men. You want to know how you can have the confidence to pace around and, you know, make such incredible predictions about what might happen in the world on such fine days as Super Duper Day? You're going to need yourself some sheathunderwear.com. Sheath, the only underwear that allows you to separate your balls from your dick. It's got a nice little pouch. You can put your balls on the ball shelf. You can put your sheath into your dick hole, into the dick hole, not into your dick hole. You'd have a very strange dick, and that would probably defy the law of physics if somehow you were able to take your wiener and fold it into its own wiener hole. Unless there was some sort of a black hole inside of that. But why would you want to use your magical powers of the black hole inside of your wiener hole to make your penis smaller? With a superpower like that, I would think you would try and figure out a way to make it larger. I'm just saying, if you had a black hole on the inside of your wiener, or you might want to get that fixed, because otherwise maybe you'd be having sex with women and just swallowing them into your wiener, and then women are just disappearing, and then cops are coming over all the time, and they're like, you're the last person that was seen with the lady, and they're like, well, you see a body anywhere? You find that body, you can take me into court, but until you can find that body, you got no proof of the fact that lady didn't leave out the back door. I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Sheathunderwear.com. Use promo code RYM. 20% off the greatest underwear that's ever graced the balls of man. I will stand by the fact I'm a full-time sheather. You will never find more comfortable underwear anywhere. Go take the sheath challenge. You don't like it, send Bobby an email. He'll send you it back. All right, let's get into some coverage, some videos. I got like 15 videos coming at you guys. Yesterday was wild on Twitter, and there were so many things that were passing by that I was finding to be interesting. First one that we are going to take a look at is the way that news coverage works these days, where it's all like Lloyd being in a car Dumb and Dumber, you can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd, you can't triple stamp a double stamp where it's you're not allowed to say things, you're not allowed to hear things, and so if people are saying things you're not allowed to hear, even if it's Donald Trump and it's relevant, you got to cut off the airwaves. You're having an argument with someone, you don't like what they're saying, you got to overtalk them. So even though I said bet on boring, and it seems like the whole system is it's kind of just coming to accept the fact that Donald Trump is marching towards victory, we still do have over-talking and other censorship in the media. Let's give it a watch.
President has to be free. A president has to be if the president does a good job. I did. Some people would say a great job.
Okay. The White House has not had any coordination with the DOJ on the prosecutions regarding Donald Trump. This is totally separate. It's a special counsel. The special counsel decided to bring charges.
Just cutting the guy off. All right, let's go to his speech. Ah, shit. He's making talking points to the people that are listening to this, and we have to make sure that they only hear what we have to say all the time, because that's not manipulative. It's not been, you know that you're in a good relationship when the second you hear other information, it instantly gets shut down. Doesn't this kind of remind you of those scenes in movies where someone comes into the boardroom, they try and let the boss be aware of something, and instantly the Jekyll character tries to shut him. No, we are, excuse me. And it's like, I want to hear the guy out. That's the way the news networks are. The second you hear anything, they're like, we got to cut away from that. All right. And I've got more videos of
President has to be.
Rachel Maddow did that, the exact same maneuver.
And we have no choice.
Yeah, okay. Okay. I will say that it is a decision that we revisit constantly in terms of the balance between allowing somebody to knowingly lie on your air about things they've lied about before and you can predict they're going to lie about, and so therefore it is.
It can just be assumed that if Donald Trump is saying something, he's lying, and so we can't even show what he might be talking about on our news network, because it can just be assumed by the fact that he's saying that it's a lie, and so there's no reason to actually listen to the person. Just listen to us giving our commentary about things that he may have said, but we're not even listening to him because he was probably just lying anyway. So don't listen to him. Just listen to us as we characterize what he was saying.
Just, it's irresponsible to allow them to do that. It's a balance between knowing that that's irresponsible to broadcast.
And we have no choice.
And then I believe this was the same thing that I was describing of if someone's saying something that you don't like, just make sure to talk over them so that their opinion can't be heard.
The whole move to try to come up with something by the administration and obviously bipartisan, that didn't come until it became clear it was going to be a major campaign issue. And only then did the Biden administration get interested in it. And every time I hear every time we hear those talking points that suddenly it was Republicans who ruined the border, that's why people get so frustrated. We know what President Biden said about inviting people in. We know that he got rid of all the things that were keeping the border closed that President Trump had put in. We know that he got rid of all those. So when you say it's not his fault,
that's literally not true. That he got rid
did
of
you
the
see seven,
it's true he got rid
did
of
see
okay, 7. He got rid 2, of family separation.
Did I'll you see 7.2 million people come in during the Trump administration? It was a trickle.
He got rid of the
point.
Policy to tear children out of the arms of their parents. That's true. But it is not true. Some of the other things that have been suggested. Let's
this
be clear.
Is,
bipartisan
this is part
efforts
of the problem with why there's a
have
disconnect.
Taken place
I think,
in 2015, but, 2006. Okay. I mean, literally since the Reagan administration. Right?
You can't triple stamp a double stamp. Lloyd. All right. What do we got next, producer man?
The whole move to try to come up with some.
This was a response from, remember Pat, the old SNL character? You probably haven't seen her for a while. So she's lost some weight. She's out working in Colorado. And here is the response. Like I was saying at the beginning of the show, the Supreme Court has failed us because we all need to be in on this Democratic LARP of this reality where Donald Trump is a Russian asset. He came into power. And then after 4 years, refused to leave office and coordinated with the FBI door opening unit and all of these people who showed up and walked into the Capitol building and then did nothing from there. And we all need to live into the reality of that there's domestic terrorists, that Donald Trump is a racist dog whistler. We all need to live in this reality because that's the reality that they're projecting onto television. And if we don't live in that reality, then we are at risk that the Supreme Court just made it easier for other presidents working with domestic terrorists to involve themselves and violently take over the country with insurrections.
It was noteworthy that even though it was a unanimous opinion, some of the justices suggested that perhaps they disagreed with the idea that solely Congress could step in and prevent an insurrectionist, as you say, from running again. Do you have any faith, though, that Congress will ever step forward with legislation that could safeguard this piece of our elections?
Because remember, everybody, we are now at threat that an insurrection or a violent insurrection could take place. And because the states don't have the power to do so, Congress wouldn't act. We're at risk, everybody.
I think that's one of the big concerns from this decision. The majority of the Supreme Court decided Congress could act. But this Congress is almost non-functional, so the likelihood of that is very low. That means that if there is an oath-breaking insurrectionist running for any federal office, they basically have, just freedom to run without any consequence.
There's freedom to run for any violent insurrectionist to run without consequence because Donald Trump is a violent insurrectionist. So if they're letting him off the hook, they'll just let anybody off the hook. What an incredible reality that we're all supposed to share with these people. We're supposed to, without a trial that actually proved that Donald Trump was involved in a violent insurrection, we all need to just agree that what took place on that day was a violent insurrection. And so, actually, you know what? It's even worse than she's saying. We're all now incentivized to go engage in violent insurrections because you can get press coverage. And if anything, that might help you then legitimately come into office because people realize, oh, that guy's got balls. He actually got a violent insurrection going. If you want to get into office, according to the Democrats, your best plan might be to go out there, engage in a violent insurrection. You get all the press from it. And then, of course, because Congress let Donald Trump off the hook, they're going to let you off the hook because Congress is pro-violent insurrectionist. Let's continue.
The purpose of Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, at least in my view, is to safeguard the country from insurrectionists taking office and destroying democracy from within. So I think it's really concerning given that this Congress is so unlikely to take any type of real action on the matter.
All right. And we've got more random Twitter videos coming at you. Next up, we've got Jamie Raskin. We played this in the intro, except that was, fictional. Thank God. Dude, AI audio. I'm going to be having more fun with that. But here's Raskin's actual comments.
Read the Supreme Court decision, which effectively says that they don't agree with that argument. What's your response?
Well, the court didn't exactly disagree with it. They just said that they're not the ones to figure it out. It's not going to be a matter for judicial resolution under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, but it's up to Congress to enforce it. I disagree with that interpretation just because the other parts of the 14th Amendment are self-executing.
Congressman, now that you've read
I don't have the right time stamp on that. And then this was Nikki Haley, who finally dropped out of the race. I wish, after you stomached all that, couldn't you stick in a little bit longer for me to work on my joke? I don't even know what she says in this one. Let's give it a watch.
Do you think Donald Trump would follow the Constitution if he were elected to a second term?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, you always want to think someone will, but...
All right, this is why I like this video. It's we got two reasons why I like this video. First is playing into the idea that Donald Trump won't follow the Constitution on a second time around. Firstly, I mean, most presidents, they do these executive orders, they do their wars. Joe Biden did his thing where they couldn't throw you out of your building if you weren't paying rent. They all break the Constitution, but then you've got a machine where it goes to the Supreme Court and then they rule against you. And then you know what you do? You figure out a different way to give kids their college tuition for free. The Supreme Court says, hey, you don't have the authority to do so, so you figure out a different way to enact your plan. But there is, to some extent, checks and balances. So this is a fun one. After Donald Trump was in the office for 4 years and didn't overthrow the country violently or ignore the Constitution, they're putting it into our heads that if he comes back into office, we can't say that, well, we don't know what anyone would do. I mean, you might as well sit there and go, do you know that the president won't have orgies with kids? I don't know that the president wouldn't have orgies with kids. How would I know that if he was in the office, he wouldn't have orgies with kids? He can literally frame any question this way. How do you know that the president won't go out there and behead somebody on the first day on the front lawn? I couldn't possibly know that the president wouldn't behead someone on the front lawn. What a fun way to do the news. You make up a situation and the other person gets to respond, yeah, I wouldn't know that that wouldn't happen. But I like that it seemed in the last ditch effort to get Nikki Haley to, you know, stay in the race the whole time, they're like, listen, you're going to need some hand motions. Donald Trump, he's up there, he's having a disco. And so she decided she was going to try out the rolling up a car window thing. You guys, we've all been there. When you get pulled over by a cop and you're driving a car so old, you have to actually roll down the window. And then the guy right away is like, all right, you're on drugs. You clearly don't have your shit together. How do you not have automatic windows? What is going wrong in your life? Have you ever had a cop just shame you right on the spot and go, really? Did you just roll down a window? Yeah, you're going to have to step out of this thing and do all of the tests because clearly you're on drugs if you still have a car with roller windows. But anyways, so this is her new thing. And she even changes hands. She's going this way. She's going that way. Giving it a try. Trying to work some new hand motions in.
I don't know. You know, when you go in and you talk about revenge, when you go in and you talk about, you know, vindication, when you go and you talk about what does that mean? Like, I don't know what that means. And only he can answer for that. What I can answer for is I don't think there should ever be a president that's above the law. I don't think that there should ever be a president that has total immunity to do whatever they want to do. I think that we need to have someone. Do you think?
Next video, Kirby.
State of the president. That seems to be the issue that is really cropping up in these polls, John.
Well, look, I can't speak for the polling numbers. I can just tell you, speaking for the president, that he is 100% engaged.
State of the president.
Annoying, but I got too many videos here anyways. That was the wrong time stamp. All right, this is the last video that we're going to play for today. Guys, listen, I don't know that I'm allowed to say this. So, you know, take everything else as nonsense, humorous jokes, whatever other things you have to say so you don't have liability. I don't know that you're allowed to ask questions of representatives on the street and film them. But I do know that sometimes when people get really angry, it's fun to watch them get really angry. And so here you have liberals who are upset with AOC, I think, for not calling what's going on in Gaza. Maybe I forget the word they use, something along the lines of a Holocaust or a genocide, something like that. But they don't just harass her. And it's fun to see her getting harassed and it's fun to see her getting angry. But what's really incredible about this video is that somehow they managed to catch her in a movie theater. And if you've never been to a New York City movie theater, which I have not been in over 20 years, but I remember this in Times Square. And what kind of an adult has time to go to movie theaters? Do you guys ever go to movie theaters? They're like dirty. Yeah, there's too many previews. Maybe that's my own anxiety that I hate movie theaters now, but I don't think I've been to a movie theater since long before COVID. But anyways, if you ever were in New York City, they've got these escalators that probably go 10 flights. And this is like that scene in Austin Powers when Austin Powers is in the bulldozer and then there's the security guard who's yelling, no, and he's like, get out of the way, and then shows you the side shot of how much space there is, and it just goes on for way too much time. So these people managed to trap AOC on the endless escalators that she can't just easily get away from them, and the Latino hot chick energy of how dare you accuse me of anything just has to yell back for six flights of escalators. This was fun. Let's give it a watch.
Cut it, and you're going to cut this, and you're going to clip this, so that it's completely out of context. I already said that it was, and y'all are just gonna pretend that it wasn't over and over again. It's fucked up, man. You're not helping these people, and you're not helping them.
You refuse to.
You're not helping them.
What? Where was the... another botched one. All right, whatever. That's enough with the video clips. I don't know where the full version of that is. Oh, here it is. And of course, her oversized puppy dog boyfriend.
Then just say it's a genocide. Just say it. Over 30,000 people are dead, AOC. You can't just say it for once. Just say the word. That's it. That's all we want you to say. Or you're not angry about people confronting the public with the cancer of genocide. Over 30,000 people are dying.
All right, we're going to call it here. We'll come back. We'll watch this on the next one. The selling by celebrities of pitching as drugs.
Decades of underbuilding. Economics of
building
things
in Portland. It's going to be the leftover show. What else? I got one more. Don't freeze up on me now. We're not frozen. All right, that is our episode. Thank you for joining us. Everybody, like I said, this Friday, I'll be with Sam Tripoli in an incredible lineup. I think Tino Sanchez is coming out. I saw Jim Florentine was on the late one. I can't remember her name, but I've seen her clips on Kill Tony. Really funny. And there were a couple other comics on that show. It's a fun little room out in Jersey. So I got the link in the episode description. I recommend coming out from that. That is a killer lineup. And then other than that, start shooting me your emails, robsnewsroom@gmail.com. Summer Porch Tour is in action. I want to go back up to what I'm eyeing for April is, the places that I didn't like, maybe Atlanta and Pittsburgh. I'd love to do Philly again. I'd love to maybe do Cleveland or whatever else is near Pittsburgh. I got to hit up, Dr. Krim, see if maybe I can get my penis checked out, get some blood work done, maybe, throw myself a party in his fine backyard and shoot his rifle, kill a deer. And then eat the deer. I'm not just trying to kill deer. That's not cool. But anyways, shoot me an email. robsnewsroom@gmail.com. I'd also love to do Boston again. I haven't done Boston in forever. Maybe do Toronto. I've never been up to Toronto. I feel like... and then lastly, probably Virginia Beach. We're probably going to do Virginia Beach in April, which means I'd love to do all the Carolinas. Are you in Raleigh? Are you in Virginia? Are you in Greensboro? Myrtle Beach? Hit me up. Start sending me pictures of those backyards, robsnewsroom@gmail.com. I want to be on the road every weekend, road tripping, working on the jokes. All right, let's take a couple comments, and then we can all go our own way. You've got, she definitely saw Kung Fu Panda 4. I could see that. LP, I find it offensive she's approaching Southern culture by saying y'all. I can agree with you on that. Thanks, Robbie. You're welcome. That's what I am here for. And then Mr. 8TY8, oh my fucking God, I managed to get online whilst Robbie is ranting live. Yeah, it's fun live. And somehow we had 202 live viewers today. That is a live view record. People really wanted to stop by for Super Duper Day. All right, enjoy your day. Probably back Friday with another episode, or Saturday, maybe Wednesday of next week. I don't know. Maybe I'll get Sam Tripoli and find out about these fallen angels. But that is our episode later. Thanks for joining us. Have a good one. We're finished. It's over.